This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we're talking now about exactly what we promised during our introduction, which is a look at domestic violence cases and how we need a better response to this. So the WAO, the Women's Aid Organization, sent out a press release on the 11th of January that was titled Message to the Government and Public on Domestic Violence During the MCO. And this came as we know during the first MCO, domestic violence concerns increased significantly. Inquiries to WAO's phone and messaging hotline increased fourfold. And in fact, other countries also reported this increase in gender-based violence, some between 25% and 35%.
So some of the reasons for this, of course, include things like people just having to be home and not having anywhere else to go. Other things like economic stresses, people being on, on a higher stress level and just not also not being able to access help or find other safe spaces when they need it. So the letter that WAO sent out had a few calls to the government. They had mainly a few specific things that they outlined. One was to implement a clear policy on domestic violence response. They also want the government to issue strong messages on domestic violence, including through daily press briefings and through mass SMSs to the public, and also to allocate adequate resources to domestic violence response during the MCO, including for frontliners, for hotlines and for shelters, because of course we're now on our second round of MCOs, right? And finally, they call for the government to create a national plan of action on domestic violence, including the emergency response factor.
This is such a hugely important topic, I feel, and it's one that I know we've discussed on the station, but we cannot discuss enough, simply because, as you rightly point out, with lockdowns and with mobility being limited the way it is, many people are now finding themselves trapped indoors with their abusers and increasingly finding it difficult to reach out and ask for help. So for even looking at the calls that the WAO and Dalian Kase, for instance, have received, think about all the other people who did not manage to make those calls. You know, that there are numbers behind those numbers. So just to say that if you need it, the hotline for the WAO is 7956-3488. You can also WhatsApp or text 018-988-0058. Those services are 24 hours. They're free. They're confidential. And if you are experiencing domestic violence, you can get protection and support during the MCO. A police report can be made. A protection order can be sought. Medical care can also be provided. And you can contact the police at 999 to help you. So, with that said, I think we wanted to look at the request that is being made of the government, right? And the immediate help that is needed to address this issue. If you have any thoughts on this, we are talking about domestic violence during the MCO. As the MCO is returning now, we thought that it would be good to revisit this. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Shazana Aga, who is the head of research at the Women's Aid Organization. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:11 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking about domestic violence and how it is a concern, particularly during the MCO. We saw that last year with the increased inquiries to WAO's phone and messaging hotline. We also wanted to address what else needs to be done to get ahead of this issue this year. If you have thoughts, do send them our way. In the meantime, joining us on the line is Shazana Aga, Head of Research at the Women's Aid Organization, or the WAO. Shazana, thank you so much for joining us today. So perhaps you can share, how many domestic violence reports have there been in the past few months? And for context, what were those numbers like in 2020 overall?
Okay, so in 2020, there was a definite increase in the number of calls and messages to our hotline and WhatsApp messaging service. It was a total of 7,087 calls and messages. But really what's interesting about our data is that the numbers really increased by 4 times in April and May. And this was during the MCO that happened in 2020. Yeah. And for instance, in January 2019, we received only 266 calls and messages. Whereas in April and May, this increased to 898 and 869 calls and messages. So clearly you can see that there was an increase, and this increase was by four times lah. And for the rest of the month of the year, the numbers decreased a little bit, but has remained consistently high throughout the months. For instance, in July it was 717, in August 603, and then December 561. So you see, there's a decrease, but it has remained consistently high lah throughout the year.
So what are some of the reasons why cases of domestic violence saw an increase in 2020? And why have those numbers stayed relatively high since the beginning of the MCO?
So what we suspect happened was basically in the beginning, most people were unclear about a lot of the uncertainty that was going around in February. And then in a few weeks in, people started realizing that we were in for the long haul. And so, you know, people started making calls and telling us that they were experiencing abuse and they wanted to seek help, but they didn't know how. And we received a high number of calls in April and May.
And with the second MCO in place, how do you foresee this impacting cases of domestic violence?
We do expect to see an increase in the number of calls and messages, just as we observed in the previous MCO. But for this MCO, however, it might be slightly less because compared to the first MCO, which came as a shock for everyone, and with a lot of uncertainty, people may be generally more familiar with what would be available and accessible during this time. So, but in general, we are expecting an increase, and we are again preparing ourselves in terms of ensuring that we have sufficient human resources and that our processes are, you know, adaptable to the current SOPs and current needs, just to prepare ourselves for the expected increase lah.
So talk to us about these uncertainties. Now, WAO has spoken about there not being any clear policy on domestic violence response during the first MCO. What was happening as a result of this lack of clarity?
All right. So as we were assisting survivors who were calling us through our hotlines, we realized that survivors were receiving a lot of conflicting responses from agencies, from frontline officers. And so, for instance, right, survivors were being told that in the investigation of domestic violence cases had to be put off until after MCO, yeah? But then when we checked with higher authorities within the police, they informed us that there was no such thing and that investigations should proceed as usual. And another example, some survivors were told that they could not apply for an interim protection order during the MCO because the courts were closed. But then some were told that they could apply for it. But then, you know, some special arrangements needed to be made. And we even had lawyers calling our hotlines asking us, can survivors still apply for IPOs during this time? So evidently there was a lack of clarity on what could be done during this time. And it wasn't just among survivors. It was among NGO folk like us. We were not clear either. And also among the frontline officers, we found that there was a lack of clarity. Yeah. And so without clear direction from the government on this, I mean, it takes a lot for a survivor to leave an abusive situation. So we want to be able to be prepared and not deter her in any way.
And so has there been any clarification from the government since then?
Okay, so in recent government briefings and announcements on MCO, we've not seen any specific mentions of ways that government will support survivors during this time. And so we call on the government to provide consistent messaging on this. But what we have seen from the budget 2021 is a 21 million allocation for domestic violence, local social support centers, yeah, as well as the MyStep allocation for short-term social workers and medical officers. So we see these allocations as a positive step that the government has taken to respond to the needs and realities of women on the ground lah, and to ensure that the resources are adequate, you know. But there needs to be more consistent and comprehensive undertaking by the government to view all this in totality, you know, and to respond comprehensively through a national action plan rather than being ad hoc and being piecemeal about it lah.
So in your press release, you mentioned Talian Kase's WhatsApp line being overwhelmed as an example of these lack of resources that you talk about. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so in the last MCO, we were a little concerned because we received reports from survivors that they were trying to get through Talian Kase and that they were not able to, or that they received responses only after a few weeks. So it's just not to say that this was the, you know, experience across the board, but this was definitely some of the things that we heard. And so we were concerned that perhaps Talian Kase was experiencing a high volume of calls and therefore, you know, some calls couldn't get through. So what has been done since then, we are not sure. And it's difficult for us to say because Talian Kase was really instrumental during the months of when MCO was happening because they were basically the main source of support that survivors could call, you know. But as soon as the MCO lifted, we didn't really have to engage Talian Kase as much anymore. So we hope to see how much this will be improved in the coming MCO.
Now, could you talk to us about the range of support that survivors need when they do reach out, whether it's through Talian Kase or WAO?
So the range of support needed by a survivor really depends on the case lah. It's an assessment that has to be carried out on a case-to-case basis. Some may need to be rescued from their situation, in which case, you know, we need to directly contact the police to do that. And we have done so previously, and there have been successful attempts to rescue survivors, you know. So that's on one end. And then you have a situation where we advise the survivor on what they can do at that point in time. Perhaps some of them want to access the criminal justice system. They want to make a police report. They want action to be taken against the perpetrator. And so in which case, what happens after the police report? So we inform survivors about what choices they have at that point in time, what their rights are, and ultimately survivors then decide what they want to do. But that, you know, the range of information that we provide is really important because then they know they don't have to endure this abuse anymore. They have options. And so we offer help as well. So giving them information, the information that they need, localized information, and perhaps linking them up with, you know, particular agencies, etc. But that's not a lot of what we do for case management. But we also provide a shelter support where, you know, we first conduct an assessment of their safety needs. Do they need a safe space? Can they get the safe space, you know, among their relatives, among their friends? And if they can't, then, you know, we look for alternative safe spaces for them.
So what are these alternative space safe spaces like? And are there enough of them in the country?
So to put it plainly, no, there aren't enough shelters for survivors of gender-based violence in Malaysia. And even before this pandemic, there weren't enough shelters. So if you just look at the number of domestic violence cases reported by the police and the number of survivors referred by the social welfare department for shelters, you will be able to see a huge gap. You know, for instance, in 2016, there were 5,421 cases. But only 17 women in the whole country were referred to by the social welfare department for shelter. So we're wondering, what do most survivors do? We don't know. We don't have sufficient data, but we it's clear that there isn't enough shelters, you know. And international best practices recommend a minimum of one family place in a women's shelter per 10,000 people. But Malaysia only has an estimated one family place per 72,538 people. And I mean, even within the Klang Valley, there is a lack, and what more in the rural areas and in other states beyond the Klang Valley. So really, we call on anyone listening who, any NGO, any foundation who are keen on setting up shelters for domestic violence survivors to contact us. And if you do run a shelter or provide some kind of service for survivors, do contact us, because we would like to know what you do. And especially if you're in you know, other states, we need to work together and we need to share our resources.
So you've also emphasized the importance of strong messaging from the government on domestic violence. Could you explain what this means and what it could look like?
Okay, so we believe that strong and consistent public messaging on support and protection available for domestic violence survivors is really critical, especially during times like this. And we believe it works. For instance, in April 2020, during the briefing by the Defence Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, he had encouraged domestic violence survivors to contact Talian Kasih and announced that the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development, as well as the police, were working together to respond to domestic violence during the MCO. And this was followed by an SMS announcement, which was sent out to everyone, basically saying that, you know, channel your complaints to the police or to Talian Kasih. So both of these public service messages, we saw an immediate increase in the number of calls to Talian Kasih on child rights and domestic violence related calls. And it's not just important for survivors to know that, you know, protection and support is available during this time, but it's also important for the larger community to know, so that when survivors approach them, they know what to do. And it's also important for the perpetrators to know that this is the case, because they know that they can't get away with things during this time.
So on that, what can a person do if they suspect that one of their loved ones is experiencing gender-based violence of any form?
If you witness or suspect abuse, you can call Talian Kasih at 15999, and that would potentially link you to the Social Welfare Department. You can call the police. If it's an emergency, call 999 immediately. But apart from that, you could also do regular checks on them. So basically, you could go over and borrow some sugar, for instance, you know. Let the perpetrator know that you're around and he's potentially being watched. And aside from that, be a good listener. Don't force anyone to do anything that they don't want to do. Always equip yourself with knowledge about domestic violence, about sources of support within your community, and provide this information to them. So that, you know, if someone approaches you and you share this information and they don't want to take action the first time, they could, you know, think about it, mull over it, and then at the next point, they might take action. You don't know. And so that you know, being equipped with information about sources of help is really critical. And, you know, if in all of this, if you need any advice or support, you can contact WAO at 0379563488, or you can WhatsApp our messaging service. We're at 0189888058.
Shazana, thank you again for speaking with us. That was Shazana Agha, Head of Research at WAO. And to repeat those numbers, you can reach out to Talian Kasih at 15999. You can call WAO at 0379563488. They're also available through WhatsApp at 0189888058. If you are in an emergency, then please, of course, contact the police at 999. And let us know, I mean, if you have any thoughts on what else the government and all respective parties could be doing better to curb this issue of domestic violence, which is an ever-present concern, particularly during the MCO. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.